One thing I've been saying it a lot recently, and I think other people, it's very important to praise the Lord, you know. And as far as I want to not, you know, something we get, shy away from those things is, I think, is Baptists, because of groups that just praise the Lord and don't have any doctrinal basis or any consistent walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible does tell us to do everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. And the Bible said everything, let everything have breath, praise the Lord. And I found that even when I first got sick earlier this week, you know, I just started praising the Lord, you know, and it just turned my mind and my attitude different about different things. And in the midst of difficulties in the past couple of years, even in dealing with people that have been hard to reach, or even those that may come against me at some point for sharing Christ, I just began to praise the Lord for them, for life to reach. And I've just been absolutely amazed at how there's always something to be thankful for. And there always gives a vision to be able to do what God would have us to do, you know. I was actually looking at the word shouting in the Bible. I was just kind of curious about it. And I'm going to preach it tonight called the Shouting Service of God. The Shouting Service of God. And, you know, I think one of the things that is this difficult when it comes to biblical truth sometimes is that so often we associate biblical truth with individuals, different cultures, different types of people, when we just need to honestly look at things. Is it biblical or is it not biblical? And like I've always said, very openly about expression of things, and whether it be prayer, whether it be shouting, whether it be praising God, if you do most of it privately, then it'll be natural publicly. So I'm not teaching this tonight to get some type of reaction in our services. But I'm teaching this tonight because it's biblical, and I want you to see it. And I really believe, since it's biblical, we ought to do it. You know, we just trust the Lord through this. But we'll start the book of Ezra. We'll look at just four or five different passages. And we'll start in Ezra chapter 4. In Ezra chapter 4, as you turn in there, first of all, to shout means to utter a sound, to utter a sudden and loud outcry. We all know what shout means, but you know all our definitions. Usually in joy, tribal exaltation. Exaltation when you're lifting up somebody, you know. Remember Herod, it came to his death. I think it was Herod, but he said, it is the voice of God, not of man. But he ended up dying because he didn't stop and give God the glory. He received that. He said, hey, I like what they said about me. You know, they shouted to exalt him, and he ended up dying, and he was ate up with worms. But in Ezra chapter 3, in verse number 1, we find him here. The king received a vision, and God's working through Ezra. They're going to rebuild the temple of the Lord. And they're going to go forward and rebuild the temple, and they're going to respond to the building of the temple. We'll start reading verse number 1 of Ezra chapter 3. Where the word of God says, and when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of God, of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his basis, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. They kept also the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom, as the duty of every day required. And afterward offered the continual burnt offerings, both of the new moons and of all the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and of every one that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. They gave money also unto the masons and to the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil unto them of Zidon and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now in the second year of the coming in unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the son of Henadad, with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord, after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus, in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good. For his, you know, one thing I'm thinking about, when we sing hymns, are we really praising the Lord? Or are we just singing to him because it is something that we do in service? That's why I do like to have y'all pick hymns, because if it's something from your heart, generally sing it differently than if it's just something we're doing, you know. Giving thanks to the Lord because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. So number one, they shouted when the foundation of the temple was laid, or the house of the Lord was laid. And I want you to understand, they weren't even finished. This was just the beginning. Just seeing the very beginning of the foundation of the house of God caused an eruption of joy. They just outcried, and number one, being restored. And you know, think about it. If they just rejoiced and shouted over the foundation of a temporal house being built for the Lord, what about the servants of God when the Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay, which is laid, which is Jesus Christ? You know, that's why as a servant of God, for years, I rejoice when I see people get saved because they finally have a foundation for their life. And I rejoice when I see children of God that when they go through something, they come back to Jesus Christ being the answer. Every time they turn to that foundation, it gives me joy. And many times I shout over that. And they shouted. And it wasn't in some calm thing with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now notice this. But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of their fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. The Levites had seen the original house of weeping, but then these new people that they saw, just the foundation of the Lord, they shouted with a loud shout. Psalm number five. So number one, the shouting servants of God, they shout when the foundation of the temple of the Lord is laid. And when people shout about something, they're generally something that is moving to them. It's something that's important to them. We've said it often, and I've heard preachers say for years, people shout at sporting events. People shout over a good deal. They shout if they get lots of money in the mail, whether it be an income tax return or unexpected gift from somebody. They'll shout. And you know, it's funny. And the thing about it is, you see, this is why I want you to understand, I'm not trying to produce something here. Because a shout, a real sincere shout, this is a reaction to, wow, this is something magnificent. This is something that's good. This is something that's happening, you know. Or you may shout if there's impending danger, but if we're shouting, talking about the Lord here. Now, in Psalm 5, in verse 11, it says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Why? Because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." So number two, the shouting servants of God, they shout when they are defended by God. You know, to be defended by God, you have to actually be in a battle for God. Many people have never experienced the deliverance of the Lord because they've never really been in a battle for the Lord. They felt maybe God helping them or giving them grace in a situation. But when you've ever really been in something, you know we're doing the will of God and the way of God, and God defends you and God protects you, man, it just gives great joy to you. It causes something to happen on the inside, and it says, and God tells them here, let them ever shout for joy because thou defended them. And it said, you should just rejoice alone, those, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. So don't just rejoice, it says, but let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Those that love your name, Lord, let them be joyful in thee. So we see that there's certainly a shout just from the foundation the temple of God is laid. They shout when they're defended by the city. That's why we need to praise the Lord with a loud voice and a loud sound, it says in a different passage. Now, Psalm 32, next thing we'll look at here. Rather ironic that I get to preach a message about shouting and I can't really even shout tonight. But Psalm 32, in we'll start in verse 1, we'll read a couple of verses. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. So the person is forgiven, man, they're just blessed. Blessing, if the Lord imputes not iniquity, God didn't give you what you deserve. Your spirit is no gal, great joy there. Now, verse 11, the Bible says here, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. So, number three, they shout when their heart is upright before God. So, if our heart is upright before God, and David was a man after God's own heart, you know, when you have God's vision, when you have God's will, you know, when you see things the way God sees things, man, it causes a joy, you know. And the Bible says, shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. That's amazing how, you know, I've watched religion for years and how people can shout over many things, religiously speaking, but not about just being upright in heart with God, you know, just a heart that's in tune with Him. Because when you have God's compassion over something, and you know, the great thing about having being upright in heart with God, then you see God's vision. You know what happens then? Instead of looking out at this world, yeah, you see sin and everything. If you read Jeremiah, you see sin and sin and sin. But at the same time, there is hope. God presented. He pronounced judgment. Many times He pronounced hope if they would just repent, you know. But unfortunately, they did not. And God tells them here, God tells us in His Word, that all ye that are upright in heart, hey, shout for joy. I said, that's what life is about, being upright in heart before God. But so often, you know, we want to see something happen. We want to know something's going on. And God said, just part of just being faithful to God is having an upright heart before Him. In fact, that's the first step. Because if your heart is not upright before God, you're never going to be faithful like you need to be. You'll never be able to do what God would have you to do. So the Bible says to shout when the foundation of the temple of the Lord is laid, or they shouted. The Bible says shout when you're defended by God. Shout when your heart is upright before God. And Psalm 35, look at verse 27. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. You know, this is probably one of the hardest things in our generation. Just to get people to be on the same cause that God is. I mean, everywhere you turn, there's somebody a cause for this, a cause for that. There are needs all over this world. But God says, well, the only thing worth really shouting about is when you favor God's righteous cause. That means that's what you're leaning toward the most. When you favor something, it stands out more than others. You give more attention to it. If I hurt my leg and I'm limping, people say you're favoring your leg, you know, because I'm giving more attention than the other one because of the pain it's going through. And God says, let them shout for joy and be glad to favor my righteous cause. And, you know, if you see things again like the way God sees them, every person here has a great potential for just the supernatural that happened in their lives. And God has supernatural purpose for every single one. And just being on the righteous cause of God should be a reason for joy and elation. And according to the Bible, it's a reason for shouting. And it's a simple thing, but you can't really, there again, you have to really think about what it means to be on His righteous cause. I mean, humanly speaking, you know, if we were leaving church tonight, and Mark and Christine are leaving home, and there's some and a little child walking across the street, and there's a car coming by uncontrolled, and Mark sweeps across the street and dies, and catches a little infant and makes it to the other side of the street. Man, somebody will shout. Somebody else said, "Praise God!" Why? Because he rescued a life. I mean, because just thinking about that situation, people realize, wow, that was a life and death situation. You know, I mean, but people don't always shout. You know, putting tracks in lockers, but he realized because you didn't put in tracks in lockers, there's somebody in that building that's going to read a gospel tract that's never read one before. And that's one of the ways I got reached, and somebody's going to experience the grace of God. Why? Just because he simply favored the righteous cause of God. And those of you that, when you witness to somebody, sometimes if you text you, maybe you just send out a verse to somebody and encourage them toward the Lord, because the Spirit of God to that person needs the encouragement of God. I mean, that's the reason for shouting, because you favor the righteous cause of God. You're favoring doing what God would have you to do. Your attendance in church tonight. We don't have to survive these services. We don't have to get through them. Hey, the righteous cause of God is to assemble together because it's important. Why? So we can read the Bible, study the Bible, and be in tune with God so that there's actually, we see the importance and the magnitude of what we're really doing. And just like, you know, David, you know, when he's going to kill Goliath, and Eliab, when he saw him come down to the battle, he said, "I know thy pride and knowledge of thy heart." He said, "You just came down to see the battle." And you know, honestly, I think that's what's wrong with a lot of church today. And just religion. People just come to see the battle. But nobody's really saying, you know what? No, there's a cause. I mean, the reason I don't come when I don't feel well, because I'm looking for job security. I come because there's a cause. I don't get up and go places and witness to people and try to make sure I have gospel tracts with me and share my testimony because I want people to think well of me. That's not a bad thing, but no, there's a cause. I don't get up early in the morning to read my Bible just because I want to know what's in it. No, there's a cause. I mean, I need to be spiritually prepared because any given moment, I can be in a life and death situation if someone needs Christ. And that's why so many mornings, I'll just be driving. And you know what? I'll just start shouting because I'm in the righteous cause of God. I'm favoring His cause. I've been in the Word. The other morning, I was praying for someone going through a difficult time and I was thinking about some different situations and I was just thinking about how good God was. I mentioned a little bit Sunday. I was just thinking about how my hands move. I was thinking about all the different blessings of God. And I was thinking of how I was driving over there and I saw all these people that had wrecks on the highway 2 weeks ago when I tried to go preach in Scarborough. And I thought, man, I sure am glad that I'm driving across the ice in the will of God. And I got happy thinking, I sure would hate to be going over here backsliding, you know, or not serving God. I wouldn't have any rest. And thank God. And I just got this shouting for joy that God would allow me to be a representative of His. And I don't necessarily mean ministry. I mean just as a saved individual. I mean, people make too much about people in the ministry, and the Bible says we're all able ministers of the New Testament. That's what we all are. It just so happens we have different functions because we're different parts of the body, but we're all able ministers. If we ever just catch that, won't there be a lot more shouting going on? Because it won't just be one person saying, "Well, I hope he gets the job done." You know, no, we need to get the job done. And if we favor the righteous cause, hey, we'll shout for joy. He tells us right here, "Let them shout for joy and be glad." Why? They favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, "Let the Lord be magnified." You know, that's generally why people shout. Okay, I want you to know where something is at, you know. Hey, this is where it's at, you know. You know, people, if you go to a hockey game and maybe you score a goal, they don't look at your buddy and say, "That was a nice goal." "That was a wonderful slap shot." They're like, "Yes, did you see that goal?" You know. Or if the Raptors are playing or some other team that does a miracle and wins for a change, you know. we're like, "Yes." You know. And we think, and honestly, you think about it, and it can be a game that really doesn't decide the championship, but just because people like these sporting events and they think it's meaningful, they're excited about it. just like, hey, I think when I play squash or something sometimes, I remember I was playing this guy, I can't think, it was Sam. I played forever. Couldn't beat him forever. You know, he would beat me. I think he beat me like 5 months in a row. And finally, I was playing him, and we're down to the game point, and something, I just dove for that last shot, and I hit it against the wall, and I won. I said, yes! I just said, Sam, that's a good shot. You know, I was excited because what I was pursuing, I finally won. That was a secular thing. How much more does it mean just to be in the will of God for the day? Just to be in the cause of God. That's something that's faded away and means nothing in the scope of eternity, those sporting things. But how much more when you wake up and say, wow, I get to share in doing what God is doing. Do you understand the president and the prime minister does not really allow you to really help in what he's doing? I mean, they kind of dictate what's going to be going, but they don't really intimately use you in taking care of the overall proceeding of the country. But the God of the universe not only intimately involves you, he wrote a personal instruction manual for you, and he also daily speaks to you instructions if you're willing to listen. I mean, we have our laws here, we have the articles that we have here, we have the Charter of Rights and different things of that nature. But, you know, Stephen Harper didn't call me on a daily basis and said, hey, Reiner, you know, I was looking at our country and I see where you're at here in Toronto. There's something you could do today that really could be beneficial to our country. And this is how I'd like you to do that, take care of that. To do that. I don't know why. We've been brothers all this time, and he just never calls me. But the God of heaven, when you just favor his righteous cause, he speaks to you about it. He directs you. The steps of a good man order of the Lord. I mean, people in this room would shout it. If some high dignitary called you, I mean, you shout and you let everybody know that so-and-so talked to you today. It's funny. People are, you know, this is an amazing thing. People that are famous, so you don't even many people don't even like some famous people, but if they have the opportunity to be next to one of them, they'll take full advantage of it, and they'll tell everybody they were next to him and they got to know him, you know, or got to do something with him, you know. But the God of heaven who gave his life for us, and man, we need to publish it abroad, like he says here. Let the Lord be magnified. That's what we shout. We want God to be magnified. And it's important to lift up our voices because, you know, when we shout, people know what's really next to our heart. I mean, just like I talked about that sport event, Sam probably didn't think it meant that much to me to beat him until I shouted when I scored that or whatever. What's it called? The point, okay? I played too many games. I can't think of what they all mean. And he probably was no big deal. It was probably no big deal to him. He beat me 5 months for was one game, you know. But imagine, and the people that know you, I mean, they know what's important to you by how you speak about it. Okay, the Bible says that out of the buzz of the heart, the mouth speaketh. People know what's in your heart by what you speak. And they really know what's important to your heart probably by how you shout, you know. And there again, I'm encouraging you to intimately think about the joy and the magnitude of just being a servant of God. And as you think about that, and try to get, as you favor that righteous cause, and you get more involved into it. I mean, just like, for instance, you know, many people, I use a secular illustration. I used to care nothing for tennis. I thought tennis was boring. I looked it up, and it was boring again. I don't know why they play that. You know what happened? Finally, one day, me and my brother, we were in university together. We were rooming together. And we thought, you know, one night we were playing in the U.S. Walmart, something 24 hours. It's about 11 o'clock at night. And he said, hey, you want to learn how to play tennis? And we said, sure. So we went to Walmart, bought some rackets at 11 o'clock at night. The tennis court told them about midnight at 1. So we go buy some tennis rackets. And it's boring game. And we started trying to do it. Like, man, this is not easy as we thought it was. And we saw, man, those guys have some skill. Those guys have some ability. And so, and guess what? The more we practice it, and the more we get involved in it, the more we thought, man, this is exciting. And then we found ourselves doing after that. We found ourselves wanting to watch when tennis matches were on. We found ourselves not only wanting to watch, we found ourselves wanting to play. And we found ourselves getting emotionally involved in the matches we were watching. And you know what? And that's just a second illustration. But do you know that if you really will just, you know, some things about the Christian life may just seem kind of boring. You know, your Bible sometimes may seem distant and boring until you pick it up and actually stay with it and read it. And parts of the Christian life, it may not sound too joyous to men to be to bless them that hate you until you actually do it. When you actually bless somebody that hates you, and the Spirit of God moves in your heart in that moment you're humble, and you finally understand what Jesus did for you. You think, wow, I have a great Savior. When you bless them, they curse you and pray for them despite they use you. You think of all the different people. You know, I was reading in Jeremiah. He was talking about how the people. Let's turn to Jeremiah just a minute. See if I can find the verse I read. Holy, all the Bible is good. I'll tell you. In Jeremiah chapter 14. In verse 10 it says, thus saith the Lord unto this people, they have loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them, he will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. I mean, here they are, they just love to wander. I mean, they get to enjoy peace and rest at the foot of God. But they just love to wander. They don't refrain their feet. They just do anything they want to do. And that just bothers God. And also in verse 16 of Jeremiah 15, he said, thy words were found. No, that's a good verse. That's not the one I'm looking for. Where they found, I did eat them. Amen. Let's see if I can find another verse. Then we'll go back. I don't know what he's reading. He's talking about how they were ready yesterday. How they were talking about how. It was speaking of how they called these people. He talked about how a woman is a harlot and goes on, but God and God's people were doing the same thing. But did you just see God's long sufferingness? Is they unfaithful to him? All right, well, look it up your own time. I guess I can. But there's Psalm 47. We'll close out here. We said that we should shout when we favor the righteous cause of God. In Psalm 47, you know, and every night I've shouted for many things in my life that have absolutely nothing to do with God. And the more I spend time with God and see what He's done, there's just many times an eruption in me. And I thank God for that. Now, hopefully, spiritual things moving more than some of these secular illustrations and secular victories. In Psalm 47, He says, oh, clap your hands. He said, that's okay to do that too. Amen. It's amazing, you know, this is why we need to only fear the Lord. Because you know, anybody can take anything and use it the wrong way. You know, you can go to, I've been to services where you know there's just a bunch of commotion going on. Shouting, clapping, music, and it was nothing spiritual happening. That's not, I don't want to create that. But I do want to tell you the truth. God is worth shouting about. And God is worth clapping your hands over. You know, and get to know Him and see the world through His view. And then you'll have more of these explosions. You know, but you'll just be—it won't be something you can pick up. You'll have to do it. Like it'll just be like, "Wow, God is good." You know, and you know, think about the things you actually clap for. But it says, "Clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is terrible, for He is a great King over all the earth." You know, and the point I'm trying to make is, there's a time because of what I grew up in, there was a lot of shouting, a lot of commotion going on. I didn't want to move in church because I didn't want to be like all those. I didn't want to be like all those hypocrites, you know. I don't want to be making a lot of noise and just be dead, you know. And then a couple times I remember, I'll be in church later. I said, "Man, that's true, amen." Without you thinking about it, like, "Amen." A couple times we get messed up, like, "Man, that was good stuff," you know. Like, wow, you know. And instead of just waiting for a time to do it, you know, it became natural, you know. But I was afraid to do that. And there again, let me stress, that does not make a service spiritual by that habit. So I'm not looking for that in our services, but I'm looking for us to just do whatever God wants. We'll be joyful, whatever. We'd not be afraid because somebody else has misused something. Guess what? There are heretics that misuse the King James Bible. But the King James Bible is still the Word of God. Amen. I'm not getting rid of it. But it says, "Oh, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord is most high, for the Lord most high is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He chose us. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loves." Selah. I mean, stop and think about that. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. See, there it is. Sing ye praises with understanding. So we know what you're shouting about. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne in his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. The last one I call this, they shout just because God is God. Just because of who he is. Because he said, "A clap, shout unto God with the voice of triumph." Why? For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. I challenge you to do this. Get alone, you know, with the Lord somewhere, and if you're nervous around people, and when you see something great about God, and when God defends you over something, that was this one in Psalm 511, they shout when they were defended by God. Hey, just shout. Hey, and when you're reading the Word of God and God ministers to your heart about something, get along somewhere and just shout. And hey, when you sense God leading you to do something, and you've done something that you know that you've been directed to by the hand of God, just shout and just praise the Lord. And if you ever just start thinking about how good God is, and think about how he saved you, just shout. Let it out, you know. And you'll be amazed. When you do that a few times, it'll minister to your heart. And you'll be amazed at how it will change your perspective and how it will cause you joy, you know. And why? Because God said to do it. Everything that God tells us to do biblically works. And he said, praise him and everything give thanks. That's why when I was praying, I thank God for our sickness. You know, we're alive to experience sickness. You know that? We could all be dead. You know, so praise God that we're alive to experience sickness. So that is a wonderful thing. You know, there's always something to give thanks for, you know, and we can feel it. You know, there are some people that have conditions that they can't feel anything. And they don't even know when they're sick. You know, so praise God, you can actually feel and to be able to suffer through some things, you know. But anyway, God is good. But I encourage you number one, always praise him. If you find yourself murmuring and thinking of a difficult situation, start thinking about God. Number one, God can deliver you. But at this point, if you're in a difficult situation, he hasn't delivered you yet. So are you in his righteous cause? If you're upright before God, then just shout anyway. Just say, praise the Lord. And you'll be amazed at how your thinking will turn. If you're favoring the righteous cause of God and the enemy shows up, praise the Lord, you know. I mean, this is a blessing, you know. There's times I've been having a tremendous day. I can tell Satan still want to try to discourage me. And I say, well, praise the Lord. You know, there's a test to see if the joy of the Holy Ghost is greater than some external temptation. And praise God, you shout for that. Sometimes I just get to thinking about, I look up at the stars, and I think, man, what a God. The heavens declare the glory of God. That's the main time. Sometimes I sit in my Bible in the house, and sometimes I just got to get in the car and go drive somewhere. Because they don't mind it when I shout if it's in the daytime. But if I start shouting at night, there's something I've been sitting there, I think, like, wow. Now, wait a minute, I got to go somewhere, because this is just getting that good. But I want to leave you with this verse, and simple verse, we probably all know it, Proverbs 3. And you're talking about, every time we do something for God the way He wants us to, it helps us. And this, I want you to meditate on this, and this will help preserve you, help strengthen you. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Now, verse 8 is a rather interesting verse. Now, does he mean it figuratively, or is this really true? "It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones." Now, I believe about it literally. It didn't say it'll be like health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. God will, there are some health benefits to being in the will of God. You know, a lot of, most illnesses are caused by stress. And if we just trust Him with all our heart, there is a ministering health benefit by just doing what God wants us to do. Many times, I think we take years off our life by not being the will of God. And we take years off our health. Now, I'm not saying that people have health issues and not trusting God. But I'm saying every life can be enhanced by simply trusting God. And that's what it says here. It shall be health that may marrow to the bones. I think the other verse says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So like a medicine, a merry heart actually does good to you. So it'll help you, strengthen you. So if you are wise, if you're not wise, you don't know how, you fear the Lord, depart from evil, it'll be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. And God wants us to be strong and follow Him, you know. And so He tells us to shout. So let's trust Him enough to shout, you know. As with every Bible truth, don't do it for man, but to be seen of man to convince man. But do it because God said to do it. And everything that God says to do, don't write off anything that God says is small or insignificant. That's why the Bible says trust Him with all thy heart. You know, shouting is not going to change the world, but it's something that God said to do. And so we shout and praise Him. We see people naturally did it because of who He was. And then God gives us some actual verses to tell us when to shout and what we should shout over. And when we understand the magnitude, I mean, do you understand this magnitude of God being involved in your life, you know? I heard, it was some actor, I don't know who it was, I didn't recognize the name, but over the holidays, I mean, I don't know if he was an actor, but he was somebody had some money. He was in Walmart, so he couldn't have been, I guess he wasn't too rich. But anyway, he was in Walmart, and he overheard somebody, he's buying one of those new Xbox, whatever those new video games were out, and he overheard somebody in the layaway line fretting over whether or not, how they're going to be able to pay off their layaway before the Christmas holidays. And so there were about 15 people in line. So he paid off everybody's layaway account that was at least above $200. And I think he ended up paying $10,000 or $20,000. So he had to keep calling. He worked for some business, some company, and he had to keep calling them because the credit card companies kept locking his card up because these unusual transactions, you know. They thought it was fraud. And he said, "No, I'm on the phone. No, this is me. I'm making these transactions and explaining." And so he went through four different credit cards just because to get everybody paid off because they kept locking him up. And so he'd get one fixed and they'd check it again and stuff like that. But the point I was trying to make is there's people shouting over that, you know. And when you realize, that's not the point. The point I was making was that this person got intimately involved in their life, and they did shout over it. And do you understand that just the fact that we walked in tonight by the hand of God, that by Him all things consist, that the God of heaven, you know, the Bible says the sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without God knowing about it. That the God that is above you pick the most famous dignitary you could pick. God made them. And God is superior to all of them. And the most famous dignitary you pick doesn't know your name, doesn't know you exist, doesn't even know who you are. But the God that made them all is intimately involved in your life, and He's numbered the hairs on your head. And just any given day you think about it, He's involved in me, that He loves me. You can shout about that. I mean, you can praise God over that. I mean, and you think of it. I mean, we just don't understand the magnitude of what it is just for God to be involved in our lives. And all of us like to be loved, and we like to be respected, and generally by people. But I mean, God is more than loved and respected us. He gave us His only begotten Son, you know. So, I may be a little bit strange, but I just kind of think that's worth shouting about. I think if we go somewhere and get alone somewhere and just do it in private before God. And I think is that what the last verse said? I meant to, because one of them shouted, said, shout the Psalm. Shout unto God. It's actually Psalm 47. I meant to point that out where we're in Psalm 47. It actually says, oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. So you shout unto God, you know. So do it for Him first, because He's the most important one. And if you do it to Him, I guarantee you, if you do it enough, because you'll figure out God's everywhere. And so it'll just happen anywhere, any given moment. You know, be like whoa, praise the Lord. Father in heaven, I just thank You for being a great God. And Lord, as good as You are to shout about, You're better to serve. And so, Father, I just pray You help us to be good, faithful servants of Yours. Bless these precious people that came out tonight. I pray You strengthen everyone that's recovering or in sickness. I pray You touch everyone, help them not to get any more sick. And I just pray, Father, You help us all to see enough in You to where we just naturally burst forth with praise when we think about You and all the things You're doing. Help us to love You more.